Father, we do gather together and we give you the praise. And Lord, praise you that we can gather together, that we can freely worship you. We can I can stand here and proclaim from the very word of God, and without any other restrictions and restraints. And so, Lord, as we approach this time to vote, and voting for especially things to protect the most vulnerable, those unborn, the babies. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would have a heart for the children. And so I pray for this upcoming election season and the cycle that we're in, that your will would be done, Lord. And Father, as we continue in your word this morning, I pray that you open it up. Give us a passion to see what you'd have us to see, Lord, that we would, each one of us in this room would have a passion for your word, that each one of us would discipline ourselves, really, to look at the Bible each day, Lord. And hearing the children sing this morning and watching all of them just being so involved with their voices and with their hands as they know that you love them. And Father, that we could just have that. And Father, if there's one person in this room this morning that doesn't know you as that Savior, that this morning would be their day, that you would draw them to yourself. As we give you the praise and glory, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. Well, if we dive right in this morning, if you would join me this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And again, I would encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew seat in front of you, hopefully. Grab that, follow along. If you don't have a Bible of your own personally, see one of the leaders here, myself or someone that you know from the church here. We will get you one. We'll put one in your hand this morning. But we encourage you to follow along with us as we read together. So I'm starting in chapter 8, 2 Corinthians. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches in Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy, their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this not as we have had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I am not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it, but now finish doing it also, so that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may also be the completion of it by your ability. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality. At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you of his own accord. We have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. And not only this, but he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our readiness, taking precaution so that no one will discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We have sent with them our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker. Among you, as for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ. Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and your reason for our boasting about you. And Father, I pray that you give us wisdom and guidance again as we study your word this morning. You know, one of the advantages of going through the word of God, going through the Bible verse by verse, book by book, is the Bible itself sets up the topic for the day. You know, I don't have to really worry about or hunt through God's word to look for something or some particular topic to speak on. The word of God does it for myself. Now, there's probably nothing wrong with that, but the problem would be that sometimes that you wouldn't know if it's the Lord leading you in that particular area or that particular subject, or it's my own personal opinion. So today, as we're continuing through the study of 2 Corinthians here in this chapter, it deals primarily with one subject and one subject alone, and that subject is this area of giving. You know, I don't usually teach or preach on that particular subject, and probably for obvious reasons, but the point is that it's the teaching is not to get you to give to this church. You know, God has provided for us here. There's never too much. There's never too little, and we trust in him to provide all of our needs, and he does. And there's too many ministries that are out there today that put what I would say too great an emphasis on money. And it's given the church a bad name. It's put a dark cloud really over this whole subject matter of giving. And so the goal for today really is to show you that giving to the Lord is a good thing. And it's also to show that it should be a regular part of your walk with the Lord. And so there's several points that I want to touch on this morning. You can jot them down if you want, as we work our way through this area of giving. And right off the bat here in chapter 8:1, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches in Macedonia." And really, a little bit of background, we're looking at a time frame that's in that first half, or that the middle half of the first century of the church that's taken place there. And for whatever reason that's going on, we're not sure, we're not given really the details here, the Christians in Jerusalem are experiencing an economic hardship that's happening. In Jerusalem, again, that's where the church began, the gospel began there. You know, Jesus told the disciples to be witnesses, and it began there in Jerusalem. Now, this hardship, it could be the result of persecutions that are mentioned in Acts chapter 11. We don't know. It could have been because of some famine that's taking place. Whatever the case is, Paul wanted the churches here to collect money for an economic relief. Now, it's different. You know, they did things different then as we do now within the realm of the church. You know, the church that we see, and I'm just going to pick on our Western world today in the 21st century, is, you know, we have a home church and they send out missionaries type of thing, and the church supports the missionary. Well, here we see it was reverse. The mission churches that were sent out are now sending resources back to the home church to help support them. And because of the problems that that are here in this Corinthian church, this collection has been put on hold. And so now it was a time for them really to get together and to send these resources to them, and they're sending it with Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem. Now, some people would argue that that chapter 9 doesn't belong really here in this book because of there's an extreme shift that takes place. And because, remember last week we were talking about repentance. Now all of a sudden we're talking about giving that takes place. But when you examine a little bit closer, you see that they kind of marry well together. You know, the first seven chapters are really dealing with Christian living. Well, as it goes on here in chapter 8, we see now we're dealing with Christian giving. And this giving really should be a further outcome of the repentance from godly sorrow as being that next step. You know, sometimes, you know, we put on a good show on the outside. You know, we shed a lot of tears. We come forward into this saving faith in Christ. We give our lives really again to God's grace. But when it comes to pulling out of our wallets, that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, the shedding of tears is one thing, but then, you know, parting with some of our money, that tends to be a whole other subject all in itself. And so Paul, he starts out here creating a bit of a friendly rivalry, so to speak, between the Corinthian churches and those that are there in Macedonia. And he's really putting us to the test. Again, as we read Scripture, it's not to read ourselves in the Scripture. The what we read in the Bible is not about us, it's for us in that. And in this sense, he's putting us to the test. You know, it's to see how genuine our faith is. How much do we trust? And remember, this giving that we're seeing here is above and beyond the normal gifts. And it's a good lesson, really, on the principle of giving in general. That in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. You know, it's kind of interesting here that the worst of times can really be the most giving of times. You know, what happens when the bills start to pile up? When, you know, wow, they're just, you know, just seems like I can't get a break. Well, many times it's, well, you know, I just don't have enough to give to the Lord this week or this month. You know, if we were to make giving a priority, the first thing that we would pay each month from our household would be to the Lord. And you'd be surprised if that becomes that habit, how easily it becomes. And the money that we have to pay the bills is what's left over after we've given to the Lord. And giving out of your need is really it's a beautiful thing because it comes from so much more from the heart from us. And it's a reminder really back in Mark 12. We have the story there about the widow and some rich people and they're giving. And the widow, she throws in these two small copper coins. And in Mark 12, 43 and 44, it says this, "Truly I say to you, this poor woman put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." And this is where that real faith, that real trust is born. You know, when you give, even if when you don't know if you're going to have enough, well, then we watch what God is going to do. Watch how God is going to work, which brings us to the next point. "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord." You know, it's give out of what you have, not out of what you think you need. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:2, we're told there that on the first day of the week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper so that no collections be made when I come. And here's another thing that we do different now than they did back then. You know, there's times where, you know, we'll have a missionary come here and they'll speak and then we'll take up a love offering for that missionary. You know, now here at Faith Bible, we do things different. Kind of, I think it's a great thing that we've already set some funds aside for that person. Well, then there's oftentimes I've been in a church where they take up a love offering. Well, back then, they actually provided for that person's need before they even showed up. You know, they had something for them. You know, God knows God knows what He's provided for you. You know, He's already got that. He's not looking down on you because you can't give $1 million. But giving shouldn't stop because we don't have a ton of money to give, if that makes sense. Also, the giving, it should be voluntary. You know, don't let anyone coerce you into giving. You don't need to feel guilty about it. Verse 4, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. You know, giving really should be a thing of joy. It should be a joy and not a burden. You know, in the next chapter, when we get into chapter 9, Paul is going to tell us about God's love, and he's going to say that God loves what? A cheerful giver. You know, giving back for God's work, really, it's a truly wonderful thing. It's a truly wonderful privilege. It shouldn't be a burden that we grumble about. You know, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, many of you are familiar with it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is what is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one will boast. You know, each one of us, you and I, we're lost sinners. There's absolutely nothing that we can give to God. God doesn't need our money. You know, he owns the cows on 1,000 hills. You know, but realize this, that God gave up everything for us. John 3:16. Is it too much then to ask that we give something back to him out of gratitude of what he's done? You know, and also in giving, we get to see the joy and what is going to take place as we further God's kingdom. We see everything that goes along with that. And this, not at verse 5, as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. We give to the Lord, not to ministries. You know, when you give something, it's to give it to God and then to let go of it. You know, financial accountability, it's important for ministries, but we should leave it up to God to police it. It is to release that gift. Give it to God. So we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete it in you, this gracious work as well. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in love, we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. When it comes to giving really, it's a part of that maturing process as a Christian. You know, the more that you grow as a Christian, the more you should realize how much giving is important. And as you lessen that grip on this world and its values, and you loosen up the grip that's on the finances, it's part of being a mature Christian. But you know what? It's not a law. It's not a command. I am not speaking this as a command, verse 8, Paul tells us here, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. You know, there's not a command to give, but it's a measure of our love. And depending on what translation that you're looking at here, I'm looking at the NASB is what I've got, this area of tithe or tithes, it occurs 31 times in the Bible. And when we see it occurring in the New Testament, you know, like Matthew and in the book of Luke, it really refers to the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And in Hebrews, when we see it mentioned there, it's in that Levitical priesthood that's taken place. And the point is here that neither Jesus nor his disciples passed on a requirement of tithing into the new covenant. You know, tithing is not the rule for today. It may be a great principle to follow, but it's not the rule. Now, does that mean that you don't have to give at all? Well, yes, technically. But it also means that there's no limit to the amount that you can give. You know, the word here that we find that's important throughout this chapter 8 is this word grace. You know, it's a repeated phrase, grace, graciousness that takes place. And when you think about that word grace, it actually has with it a couple different meanings. Grace is used in the Bible as when God showed us grace. It's unmerited favor. I didn't earn it. He just shows it to us, that grace. But also we use the word grace as really that it's beauty, grace, loveliness, charm, pleasure, kindness, delight, that word means. And Paul here, he introduces this little bit of rivalry, as I mentioned earlier, in these churches, and it's true that how much that we show our measure of love to others becomes this outward grace. We're showing this outward favor, this outward kindness, this outward delight that takes place in this area when it comes to giving. Matthew 10:8, freely you've received, freely give. Verse 9, for you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty might become rich. Giving freely is a Christ-like gesture. I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. But now finish doing it also, so that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may also be the completion of it by your ability. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. You know, when it comes to this area of giving, you know, we could say talk is cheap. In giving, it's the action that counts. You know, sometimes we find ourselves, there's this big gap between saying or even deciding that we're going to give to the Lord and actually carrying it through. You know, and I think there can be a huge hold, if not a magnet that's attached to our wallets, that the more we give, it seems to be that can be, there's such a pull on our finances. You know, it's just to get it there. Matthew 6:19-20, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, that last verse of that 21, is always that's the sticky one right there. You know, where your treasure is, the things that we treasure in our life, I don't know about you, but I find it easier to know those things that I treasure, that's where my heart is. And when I honestly look at it, it keeps drawing me back in. Verse 13, for this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality. At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathers much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. You know, it's the what goes around comes around. terminology. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. They will pour it into your lap, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. There's been times in my own life personally where I have to go, Lord, you have filled my lap. My cup runs over. I can't take it anymore. He blesses like that. Overflowing. And I don't think I'm preaching some kind of message here that if you give God $100, that he's going to turn around and give you $1,000 back. I don't believe it works that way. Luke 11:12-13. If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, God's not some big mean ogre or anything like that. Sometimes we don't get because we don't ask. But thanks be to God who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you of his own accord. We have sent along with him the brother of those whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. And not only this, but he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself, and to show our readiness, taking precaution so that no one will discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You know, when it comes, administering gifts, it's an important witness. And it becomes an important service of the Lord. And it's common practice to put responsible people in charge of delivering these gifts. You know, back then they didn't have PayPal, they didn't have electronic transfer that was happening. They were carrying cold hard cash is how they delivered it. And here in this passage, we have a spot here where it says, we sent along with him the brother whose fame and the things of the gospel is spread throughout the churches. Well, I don't know who this famous traveling preacher was, but he has some fame here. And now, you know, I've looked at some different commentaries, and that's one of those rabbit holes that people could go down. Who was he talking about? You know, it doesn't matter who he's talking about. The point is, as we go through and as Paul lists these men, what he's doing is like, look, these guys are vetted. Titus, these other brothers, this the Billy Graham of the day, whoever he's talking about, I don't have any idea, but this guy that was famous for this, is that he's giving these guys that, look, these guys are legit. You know? And Paul here is saying that they've taken great pains here to do what's right in God's eyes and in the eyes of men. And we're not all, and I'll say here at Faith Bible, I'll just pick on all of us, is we're not all going to agree on how the funds in the church should be used or spent. But you've put, and we've got, you know, our nominating committee and election, you've put godly men and women in charge, and you trust that they're going to do the best they can with the resources that have been given. What a privilege and what an honor that is. We have sent with them our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker. Again, Paul is giving you some a little bit of background, how important this guy is to him. Among you, as for our brethren, they are what? Messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ. Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and our reason for boasting about you. You know, a giving church encourages others to give as well. So what do we learn from this chapter? Well, as we go through it really quick again here, is that, you know what, the worst of times bring the most giving. You know, give out of what you have, not out of what you think you need. Giving should be a thing of joy, not a burden. You know, our attitude and our willingness about giving matters more than the amount that's given. We give to the Lord, not to ministries. Giving is a part of this maturing process as Christians, as a follower of Christ. There's no command to give, but it is a measure of our love. Giving freely is a Christ-like gesture. Talk is cheap. In giving, it's the actions that count. We've talked about it before, about this area of love. Love really is an action word. Love is something that it's demonstrated. It's backed up with some kind of action. What goes around comes around. Administrating gifts well is really an important witness, as we see here. It's an important service to the Lord. What a privilege when we're placed in those areas of responsibility like that. You know, a giving church encourages others to give also. So in this is really this area of giving, that giving is important. But know this, giving doesn't save you. Giving doesn't score you extra brownie points in heaven. Giving is a reaction to God's love for us. It's a result of God's Spirit in our lives. You know, John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you what? Have love for one another. You know, we sing the song, you will know they are Christians by their love. Give freely and give liberally, but give to God. And I would say this, to give secretly, that it's not a bragging thing. And don't limit your giving to just money. Father, we do give you praise. And I know this area of giving, it could be one of these owie subjects. We can talk about many things here, Lord, and sometimes the one when we start talking about money, it can be pretty touchy. But Father, I thank you for where you've placed us and that you have blessed us, Lord. And speaking of myself personally, may I hold on to the finances loosely, Lord. They're yours. You have given so much to me and each one here that is a follower of you, Lord. How in the world would we not want you to trust you with everything, including our finances? So, Father, I lift up each one here. Again, Lord, if there's someone here this morning that you are drawing them to yourself, and Father, they want to place their trust in you, Father, may they not hesitate. May they do it right at this very moment. And as we give you that praise and glory, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, amen.